Cook it, it's a kitchen.
Okay. Not yet.
So I guess we're up to Amarava, short tray for Sahara, right? Is that what you guys started?
Yeah.
I guess so, right? So if you have a shore, an animal which is a trefa, okay? Which is a trefa, okay? So, you know, let's get some background. Why not? Let's get some background about what's the deal here with kofar. So the psukim, I mean, we were the psukim last time, right? But if, let me show the ram. So he says, this is the parag yodin, and this came mama. Shor shehimis es adam b'chol makom. So if an animal kills a person, no matter what, bein gadol bein katan, bein eved bein choren, echad tam ve'echad muad, how is it niskal? Okay. So this, the animal is stoned. Okay, no matter what. The imhimis es agoy pater kidinehem. Kill a guy, he's pater, because that's, the animal isn't killed, like that's the way the guy is, their laws work. So it's, if he kills a Jew, then he's subject to the rules of the call of the Jews. If he kills a guy, so there's the rules of the guy. V'echad ashor v'echad shar behem achai v'ov shehem yisur erlin eskal. So it doesn't matter if it's a shor, it could be any animal that kills. Fine. Okay. One second. I was just thinking as, okay. Ma bein tam shaharagas adam. So what's the difference if it's a tam or a muad? A tam is like a, I guess let's call it for now, a peaceful animal or a aggressive animal. Peaceful, aggressive, based upon their past performance. Okay, a muad is when it kills, when it gores, let's say, three times. So what's the difference? Either way, the animal is killed. Okay, so a tam, put them in a kofar. So the tam, the person is pater from paying kofar, which is ransom money. A muad chayiv be kofar. Okay, by a muad, he's chayiv in kofar, which means ransom for his life. Okay, which means that if you let your animal, which is a wild animal, kill someone, so then you really are chayiv misa. Hashor yisakel v'gam b'alav yumas. Okay, so the shor is stoned, and you die. But you could pay kofar. You could pay ransom. Okay, so it's like you're chayv misa, but you don't actually get killed, you need to pay ransom. Okay? So so that's if you're a muad only, if the animal's a muad. Okay, not if it's a tam. If it's a wild animal. Okay, you could have known, you knew it was wild, you knew it could kill. Uvavachi a muad larog. Yeah, that's assuming that it was a muad to kill. Not just that it gored three times, but it had a gore to kill three times. Okay? So there's a natural problem, right? The problem, you notice? Ram brings up a problem, just a factual problem. Is, question is, how's it ever going to get to three times? Because we kill it every time it kills, right? An animal kills, we kill it. So how do you ever get an animal to become a muad for killing if the first time it kills, you're going to stone it? Right? But the whole halacha of kofar is only if the animal is already a muad, means it killed three times. Killed three times, then why is it still around? It should be dead the first time it kills. Right, so the Ram brings out the problem. He says, how could you ever have a case of kofar? How's it going to work out? It says, let's say you killed three guyim. Because you don't kill if you kill three guyim. Because in terms of being a muad, a wild animal, it's different if it kills Jews or guyim. It doesn't matter. Or kills three trefas. So apparently if it kills the person who's a trefa, so then it's not killed. Right? Back up Harik Shalom, and then it kills a non-trefa. Okay? Osha Harai Ubarach. Harai Ubarach. Harai Ubarach. Or it killed and ran away. But Revi Nitvas, and then the fourth time it's caught. She'ina Bailam Chayv Mekofer Achi Yisak El Hashar. So the Bailam are only going to be Chayv Kofer when the shore is stoned. Okay, so that fourth time that the shore is going to be caught, so then the owner is going to be chayav to take over. Okay, what does he means? For instance, let's say the fourth time it gores and it runs away. So then is the baal going to be chayav kofar? Okay, again, the baal is going to be chayav kofar only if it's killed already three times. So they're saying, how does it get to three times without being killed? So it kills and runs away. Kills and runs away again. So it kills three times. So now it should be kills. But the Rambam says, and then it kills, and then it isn't run away. It gets caught. Right? So why does the Rambam have to say it gets caught? Who cares if it gets caught or runs away the fourth time? What's the difference? The only reason he needed the first three times, it had to run away, otherwise he would have already killed it. But why is the Rambam specifically mentioning the fourth time it's caught, not the fourth time it also runs away? He's saying it's because the halacha is, if the shor runs away, and you don't stone the shor, then you don't give the baal a chayv kofar either. Okay, the baal is only chayv kofar if the shor is stoned. The shor is caught and stoned. Okay? For some reason. Okay? But that's, I'm mentioning that because I think that's related to this thing we're doing, Kamisa Zavail and Kach Mesa Hashar. There's like some parallelism between the Shor getting killed and the person paying in Kofar. Okay, fine. Okay. Fine. So then he gives more cases, okay, whatever. So now it's like this, so I'll have a dollar. Zeshner Matera Gamba of Yumas. So the Torah says, and also the owner of the animal should die, should get killed. Okay, so Masor, we know it doesn't mean he's actually killed, but it means that it's Mibisa B'dei Shemayim. God will kill him. But if he pays a ransom of the value of the person who was killed, then he is forgiven, he has kapara. Alpha Pisha Kofar Kapara, who, even though it's kapara, we kind of force him to pay. Okay, even though it's kapara, if you don't do it, you don't have kapara, but still we basically force you to pay. Okay, fine. So the thing is, the Torah says yechayiv misa, but it's misa deshamayim, but the kofar, the ransom, kind of gets you a kapara and gets you out of the misa. Okay, so it's not going to really be realized. Okay, so now it says like this, So when you do the trial for the shar, okay, for the wild, this animal, this stoner, this wild animal, which gourd, so you only have to do it in front of the bailam, in front of the owners. If there are owners, if there are no owners, then you just kill it. But if there are owners, you have to do the trial with the owners present. Avalim lower your low bailam if it doesn't have one, it's going to show a bayam midrash or a hektish or a gar, shemesi and the yoshim, and him is always in iskal, the gom dinath pishain low bailam. So it doesn't matter. If there are no owners, there are no owners. But if there are owners, the owners have to be present. For some reason, the owners have to be present in the trial. Okay, fine. Okay. So now we have our halacha. Okay, so this is the Rambam. We can do the Gemara, but I'll just read the Rambam. Shor shu treifa sharagas nefesh, if the shor is a treifa, has a moral wound. Oh, shahya shah shaladim shefa, or it belongs to a person who has a wound, moral wound. Einu niskal. It's not stone. Shenemer began by love yumas. Kemesu bani kach mesa zashar. Vekirin shabai love kemesin chashuv and shuv chamisa or is that pater? So it says a comparison between the death of the animal and the death of the person, of the owner. And just like the owner, if he's a treifa, is off the hook, because he's like, he's dead already, and he doesn't have to be killed. So to the animal. So to the animal, if it's a trefa, then it's pata. Then we don't kill the animal. Okay? Or if the person is a trefa, and just like you're not killing the person, you're not going to kill the animal. Okay, so that's basically the problem here, is what's the parallel between killing the animal being a trefa, and the person being a trefa? And you see there's a lot of parallels here between the animal and the person. For instance, they have to be then in front of it together. If you don't end up killing the animal, if the animal runs away, then you don't do then to the person. I mean, there's definitely links, linkages between the two. The good question is why. Okay. So I guess, so let's look at Agamar now. Okay, this is just some background. Then we're ready to look at Agamar. So it says, V'amar Rava, it's, I guess, approximately 10 lines in the bottom. Alayin Chazim and Aleph. Shor Treifa Shehorag Chayef. Okay. So if the animal is a treifa animal, it kills, so then the animal is Chayef. V'shor Shel Odom Treifa Shehorag Pater. So if the person is a treifa, then you're Pater. Then the animal is not killed. Okay, my time, huh? Amar Kora, Shor Yitzkev Agamba, love you, Mas. So the thing is that because there's a comparison, the shor should be stoned, and also the owner should be put to death. So there's when we would put the person to death, then you stone the shor. Okay, but when you would not put the person to death, then you would not stone the shor. So if the person is a treifa, so you would not put him to death. So therefore, you don't kill the shor. Okay, Rashi.
You should put death because of the
kofar. Well, let's see. Let's read Rashi. We can't believe you want. Kilomar kamisa zabaylam. Kach kamisa zashar. The comparison. Alhamel sanai mekshinu. The kiv in the ilu katul mare shelo bebez den lo mekdil. Alpiedim. That if the master were to kill, not in front of bez, then he wouldn't be killed. Through edim. Shor akidomar del shor anami lo mekdil. Okay, so it seems like since if the person were to be a killer, he wouldn't be killed. So too, if the shor kills, when the shor kills, the shor is not killed. Okay, it's not clear. I mean, does it mean the kofar? Does it mean because the guy is not chayav kofar? I mean, it could be, but how do you know why is the guy not chayav kofar? So it's saying is the reason why the guy is not chayav kofar, yes, is because the guy is, kofar comes from somehow from the schiv, it's a ransom for a schiv misa. But the guy is not chayav misa because he's a treif already. So since he's not killed, right? So therefore the person, right? Let's say this way the Rambam's going to learn it. Sounds like this way the Rambam's going to learn it. Rashi somehow a little, something's funny about Rashi. But I mean the Rambam's learning his luck. The Baal himself is going to be Chayiv Misa. So since the Baal is going to be Chayiv Misa, so too the Shor is going to be killed. Okay, the Baal is not Chayiv Misa because he's like a mace. So therefore the Shor also isn't going to be killed. Okay, that's the first Shita. Yes. That's the problem. So what's the svara here? Right? I mean, this is the problem. What's the idea? It just sounds like a funny limud. I mean, there are more. The kesugah gets a little more complicated, but the Rashi. But I think we should leave that alone. Let's just try to define according to the first shita, for starters, Rava. So what's the svara? They say that if the owner is a treifa, and if the owner were to kill, in such an instance, you wouldn't kill him. So too, you don't kill the animal. Right? Just because of the owner, you don't kill him, so who cares? Right?
So we're going to learn that it's both Tom
and... I don't know. I mean, I would think so. I think you're right. It does sound like a good idea from the Rama. He doesn't mention it. Although, I mean, it's saying here, it's Kamisa Sabailim, at least in the way the Rambam's learning, it's Kamisa Sashar, just like you kill the master, so you too kill the Shor, that's only talking about where he's a Muad. I mean, that's what it's talking about, otherwise there is no Kamisa Sabailim. Okay, it's a good question, Matt's pointing out. I'm not sure if this halacha is only talking about by a Muad, or is it even talking about by a Tam. I mean, it sounds like Matt's pointing out is the Ram doesn't qualify. He doesn't say that this is only talking about by Muad. You know, and Rashi certainly doesn't seem like he's saying that, because he's just saying he is by the Mizabailim. If the master were to kill, then he'd be Pater, so too. If the Shor kills, then he's Pater. Right? So he's not talking about it in this instance. But the Ramam doesn't talk that much like Rashi. So on the surface, you think it's not. The Rashi seems clear, it's even by Tom. Ram, you could say, is only by Muad, just because it's from the pasuk which he brings down, is only by Muad. But still, the Ram doesn't say it explicitly. So the question is, what's the svara? I mean, who cares that that the master wouldn't be killed if he were to kill, or that the master wouldn't be killed? So why is that relevant? I mean, you could say, look, that's the limud, but I mean, it just seems it's hard to understand the sense to the whole thing. So one first step, I mean, we have to take this in steps. But in one good step, and Morris is saying, is that it does seem to be, and this makes sense also, I mean, this is not what you're saying also, I think, is that, or it follows what you're saying, is that there's a difference between a wild, unowned animal which kills and an owned animal which kills. Okay, like an unowned animal which kills is just, you're just doing din to the animal, kind of, however that works, whatever. Like, let's say we can't have these types of animals in society, so we get rid of it. I don't know, something like that. But then there's like a, when it's an owned animal, the din of the animal is tied up with the din of the person. You see, it has to be in the person's presence. And the sense is, because when an animal kills, an owned animal kills, there's a responsibility to be placed on the person. Okay, and presumably whether it's a tam or it's a mut. I mean, a tam doesn't mean you don't have to watch it at all. I mean, it's lesser responsibility, but there still is responsibility. So, I mean, a person is an owned animal. You should watch any animal kills. So you have to be there for its din. Like, the din involves you. It's not just like, an animal in the wild. It's just nothing to do with any people. It's just that we kill these animals. We can't have it. We got to get rid of it. Just own it. But when the person owns it, it's like, in a certain sense, there's a degree of culpability on the part of the owner, and the din of the animal is tied up with the din of the person, somehow. Right? I mean, that's a simple pshat of when it's a mu'ad, k'misas, show yisrael kevagam v'olav yumas, is that there's, the person dies and the shor dies. They go together somehow, like they're tied in with the person. But we have to explain it. But the first step is just that they're definitely tied in. It's part and parcel somehow of the din of the person. Right, so what I'm going to do is, I have a story here which may not work out. I mean, I have to rethink it with Matt's question. I'm not sure if it's going to work out or not, but I'll save it as a tentative and we have to think about it for tomorrow. So the idea is, because I think this story only works if you say that it's only talking about Baimor. Okay, which sounds like it from the Limud and from the Pesukim and all that, they'll sound that way, although not from Rashi for sure, and seemingly not from the Rambam, arguably not from the Rambam. But maybe we could read the Rambam more carefully or whatever, or maybe we could change a little detail this far that could make it work anyways. But the idea is like this, is that, I could see saying, like, if you have a wild animal, walking around society, you gotta get rid of it. Okay? Gotta get rid of it. Okay? Because you can't just have these things destroying, killing people, But in theory, you could argue that an owned animal, why do you have to get rid of that? I mean, it's not the animal's fault, so to speak, and the animal is owned, so the owner should watch it. Like, what would happen, let's say, for instance, we kill the owner? Or we make that owner pay money? So now he's going to watch his animal more carefully. Right? So why do we have to kill the animal for? Right? Why do we have to kill the animal for? Make the owner pay. It's the owner's fault. The little guy, give him this thing. Show him, hey, you chayv miso, you have to pay ransom. And now, watch your animal more carefully. What do you have to kill the animal for? Right? I understand if it's a ownerless animal, then it makes sense. The ownerless animal, then it makes sense. Right? Because it doesn't have, it's going to keep killing. You got to get rid of it. But here it's not going to keep killing. Let the owner guard it. Right? There's no halacha that we can't have wild animals inside. Let them guard it. Okay. So maybe it's like this, you have something funny, halachically, it's like really there's a chiyuv misa on the owner. Okay, why is there a chiyuv misa? Because It's like killing. I mean, it's basically like you killed. Not quite, but basically. I mean, you have a wild, killer bull, right? And you simply just let it go loose, right? You know it kills. And you just let it go. Right? So it's like you killed. You didn't actually kill. You didn't, do an action of killing. You didn't purposely take a knife and slit someone's throat. But it's basically saying, it's like, b'dei shamayim, that's like killing. I mean, it's irresponsible, and it's not just like a shogig. I mean, it's like shooting around stray bullets, like in the middle of the street, kind of, Not exactly, but it's a killer, and you're leaving it out. And apparently the Torah is saying it's a chayav misa for that. Misa b'dei shamayim. But the Torah realizes at the same time is that you're not a murderer like a murderer with on purpose. So the Torah sets up that you could redeem your life. Which means that you don't have to actually get killed, but it's sufficient to realize that you should have gotten killed, or you deserve to get killed. And not just the way you realize that is through paying like a ransom. The ransoming your life, it's an expression of the fact that I really should get killed now, and I'm paying money in place of getting killed. And that's like a machaber. The person realizes it does an action, which is an illustration of the fact that this is a death, is a action, which is deserving of the death penalty. And that's the idea of the, that, that's enough for a kapara. Normally, a guy who actually kills on purpose, his only kapara is where he gets killed. He accepts his own his punishment. But here, it's sufficient to pay money in place of his life as a ransom, and that rings to his mind that he really is deserving of death, and then that's a kapara. But the money that he's paying is not, it's not like he's paying for damages. The character of the money is like, it's death money, so to speak. It's money in lieu of his death. So I was thinking that then maybe what the Torah did is to manifest that, to make it clear. Like the kapara works insofar as the person realizes that that's what's going on here, that it has a character of a ransom. You know, that it's really like him paying money is really him, he's giving up his life in the form of money. You know what I mean? It's like he's giving up his life, not in the form of his life, but in the form of ransom. He's exchanging it. He's giving up his life through the money. You know what I mean? So it could be is that to bring that out, the Torah put together, killed the shar. Whereas the idea is like, shor yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumas. It's like the shor gets killed and also the person gets killed. Okay? Which means is that through the fact that you have these two things going together, the shor is killed, like the way the pasuk sounds, like they both have to get killed. Shor is a murderer, you kill the shor, and you kill the person. You know what I mean? But you don't actually have to go all the way with the person. It's sufficient you kill the shor, and the person has a din miso, which is satisfied through the through mamon. But it's like the mamon, the din miso exists in the person through its connection to the killing of the shark. It's like through having them together, it brings out or it reflects that the din miso on the mamon of the person is really like it's really a din of miso, which is accomplished through mamon. And through putting together the killing of the shor together with the killing of the person, it reflects that idea. Whereas the killing of the shor is not just because you have to get rid of the shor, but the killing of the shor is indicative that really we should be killing the shor and the person. But we're killing the shor and letting the person live through his din mamon. So it reflects that the kill of the money of the person is really like instead of misa. And it reflects that through the fact that it's the din together, goes together of the misa and of the mama. You guys follow me? The thing is that it seems, so to speak, that you just, you killed and now you just like, you have to pay for the life of the person, to pay for the victim's life. That's the impression. Why do you have to pay? Oh, it's compensation. It's compensation. So your shor kills. If your shor does damage, it damages some guy's field, so you have to pay for the damage. If your shor kills, you have to pay the damage. That's what it looks like, because it's compensation. That's what money is. So money has a character of compensation. It's a din of mamonas. It's a din of mamon. So the court case is the case of restitution, of compensation. It's a din mamon, but that's not what it is. It's not really a din of mamon. It's really a din of misa. The paying is really, it's really like a form of giving your life. So to speak, the court case is not a court case of money. It's a court case of misa. And how is that clear? Because the court case involves killing the shor and killing the person through his mamon, through making him give money. So it's like through making it into like one gemara din, one case that they're together, so it's like it's clear, like how do you just put them together? One's a din mamon, one's a din misa, you're killing the shor, and then it's a din mamon. But it's like, no, it's because the killing of the person is really a case of murder, a case of misa. But the person's misa is accomplished through his pidyon, through his, through his redemption, through his ransom. You know what I mean? So the ransom has a character of death. Ransom is in the ballpark of death. And the way it does that is through the fact that it's in one Gemara Din. It's one, it's bifnei, the, you know, you're doing the din, the animal together with the shar. And for instance, it says that if you don't kill the shar, that's the thing, if you don't kill the shar, right, because the shar runs away, for instance, then you don't make him pay. And there's no ransom. Because I'm saying is then it would be like it's just the case of din of mammon. Then it would be like you're just making him pay, the restitution. But there's no idea of restitution. You can't have restitution for human life. No idea of restitution. It doesn't really make sense. So then you basically, then you don't have the only way you have the din mammon by the person is if it's in a case of the shar, and they're together. And this way, it's clear. It sets the stage as it's a case. It kind of defines the case as a case of din and nefashos, so to speak. You know, as a case of nefashos of a person of life.
Because you kill the shar.
Yeah, because you kill the shar.
And the shar is like the...
Yeah, right. It's because you're killing the shar, which the shar murders, you're killing it, and then, yeah, and then the person is included in that case. I mean, I'm not really in this part of the sugya, but, I mean, the Rambam has that there's certain differences between dini mamas and dini fashas in the court cases. Whether you do it during the nighttime, during the daytime, I mean, there's all kinds of differences. Okay? All different differences. So he says, by shar and niskal... Okay, Mishar Niskal, which is the case where you kill a Shar, who the animal who gets who kills. So it's kind of split. You have 23 judges, which is only a din of you know, of murder cases. But the other properties, I think, are like mamonis. Okay, the other properties are like mamon. Okay, they're in the daytime, and I don't know. It says sometimes it's in Yud Aleph Dalet in Hilchos Sanhedrin. But it sounds like there's certain, in certain regards, like it's like mamon, but there's still a halacha that you have 23 judges. Okay, which is a phenomenon of din misa. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you presumably have to look at that sugya. I'm just pulling it out of Rambam. Rambam's doing it based on Gemara's and, you know. But, I don't know, maybe there's Rambam here who says this. But it could be maybe that's the part of the idea. Is that the case? It's really a case of a case of murder. It's like the shar is a murderer, and that's a case of nefashos. I mean, it happens to be it's an animal, but it's a case of skila, and that's a case of 23. Even though it happens to be it's an animal that you're killing, it's not really a case of mama. And that's so since it's a case of murder case, so by putting the din of the person together with the shar. It indicates or it brings out that this payment is not restitution, but it's a case of it's a murder. It's murder and it's killing him in the form of him giving money. And that's saying Hashoyes Kelvigam Balav Yumas. They should both die. Whereas really, there's the two murderers here. There's the animal and there's the person. The animal actually did it. The person is the responsible party. So we should kill them both. But we don't actually kill them both. If he wants, he could pay them money instead. But if the money is really is like a form of killing him. You know, and therefore it's saying is that if... Oh, so what's the punchline? So the punchline is that if the guy is not subject to murder because he's a trefa, right, so he's a trefa, so therefore he's not subject to the death penalty. So therefore there's no... Then presumably there's not going to be any kofar, and then there's not going to be any din of killing the Ashar. Because the killing of the shar is there as a component of the killing of the person. It indicates and underscores, sets the stage for the killing of the person or the kofar of the person and renders it in a din of misa. But insofar as there's no killing of the person, okay, because there's no kofar, because there's no altogether, he's chayv misa, he's not sorrowful misa, he's already a dead man, so then there's no need to have the misa as a shar. See, if the shar is on its own, there's no owner, then it does, then you just kill it on its own. But when there's an owner, the role of the... I mean, it could be there's also the fact that we kill it. And maybe that first thing I said isn't necessary. But it's still, I mean, you want to get rid of its anxiety. But it becomes tied up with the misa of the... with something more significant than it. It's not just the misa of the shar. I mean, look, it's... still, you could kill the shar. It's not, you know, they kill the shar, it's a killer. But it becomes tied in with the misa of the adam, and then it becomes there to set the stage for the killing of the adam. Or even the money of the adam. But if there is no killing of the person, or the whole thing is it doesn't apply, So then you don't have the killing of the shahr.
But
apparently, once it becomes tied in with this or the person, then it follows those halachos, and then doesn't resort to becoming like a shahr, an ownerless shahr. I mean, that's interesting, but no. I hear it. I'm not sure if that's a question or just interesting to note. I mean, you could have said, a shahr comes under one of two systems, depending on if it has an owner or if it doesn't. But once it has an owner, it comes under this system. Now, if it ends up being exempt from this system, it doesn't then revert to the other system. Its misa becomes a function or a component of the misa of the Baal. And if it becomes removed from that, so then it's not going to exist with it, you know. It doesn't go back to the other system. But the problem is that this would seem to be very rooted in assuming that this only applies by Mu'ad. Right? Seems so, because that's the idea. So I'm saying the whole halacha of the killing of the shahr is going together with the person is because you want to indicate the relationship between the kofar and the kofar is not really money, but there is really ransom, and that sets the stage as a case of misa. But that's only when there's going to be kofar. But if it's a tam, then there is no kofar. So then the whole thing doesn't really make sense. Right? Me, I have an idea of how to answer that question. I mean, I could say Yehi Nechanami, but I don't know if I want to say that because it doesn't seem that way from the Rambam. Simple pshat, and certainly doesn't seem that way from Rashi. So it would be better if I could somehow tweak this svara to be able to, to apply it to the fact that even if it's a tam, the same thing would apply. Which is not so simple, but maybe we could do it. Maybe we could, maybe we can't. I don't know. So if not, so I guess that's what we have to try to do for tomorrow. Either try to take my svara and make it and adjust that problem, give a different svara. And once we do this, I guess the next step to move to is the next question in the Gemara. Is the Gemara's point out, is let's say the animal is a trefa. That's a machlokes Rava and Ravashi. If the animal is a trefa, do you say the same thing? Okay, because now the person is chayav misa, so who cares about the animal as a trefa? But Rav Ashi says, no, you compare the animal and the person. Just like if the person is a trefa, so too if the animal is a trefa, they're equated. So then we have to define that machlokas. Okay, so this is rough, right? And this is pretty rough stuff, but got to work it out for us. I'm kind of curious about that thing, the 23. Maybe I'll look into that. That's interesting.